Hello everyone, it's Whisper Audios, and welcome back to part two of my favourite TV programmes. Now, if you haven't checked out part one, then I'm going to link it down in the description. So, like I said in that video, the TV shows that I talked about, it wasn't a definitive list, and there are so many more TV shows which I absolutely love and want to share with you guys. Now, some of these TV shows have either been cancelled, like the seasons are still current, rather than last time. I talked about mostly TV shows that have kind of been and gone and are completed. So these are the ones that probably are like season three or like ongoing sort of thing. There are a couple in here that, you know, have finished a long time ago as well. So just to give you the heads up. So I'm going to dive straight into it because last time, I remember I was chatting on for like at least 40 minutes and, oh my goodness, it was such a long video. So I'm going to try and do this a little bit shorter time. But if you like soft-spoken, rambling kind of ASMR videos, then this is the video for you. So, the first one that I'd like to talk about is Mindhunter. So, Mindhunter stars Anna Torv, and that's the only actor's name that I can think of. But basically, it is based on true events, I want to say, and it's based on the criminal profiling done by the FBI back in the 70s, I want to say, and it follows the story of these three FBI agents who basically start to profile serial killers. So they go along and they interview them and they write up what they think is the reason why these serial killers do what they do, and they want to use that information to try and catch serial killers in the future. So this is a really interesting look into the psychology of what makes a serial killer tick. And if you're into true crime, like gruesome murders and serial killers, then this is the program for you. It kind of is very slow paced, but in a really enjoyable way and a very artistic kind of way. That's just David Fincher's style, the creator, and he directs some of them. It's really sleek, really classy, really well put together. The characters are really cool and you really like kind of root for them. And having a deeper look into the serial killer's mind, like Charles Manson, the Son of Sam, all of those serial killers, which are portrayed by amazing actors, like, oh my god, like it literally, to me, like doing a comparison side by side on YouTube to the Mindhunter actors and the real life serial killers, these actors have nailed them. Like, it's scary, it's spooky, some brilliant casting in there. And obviously it doesn't kind of necessarily weave around the serial killers. That's the main kind of storyline plot for the show, but it kind of like more centers around these three characters and their own personal struggles and conflicts with the world and stuff like that. So it's not just out serial killers. There's some like drama in there. So I think it's now on season two. There's been two seasons and they were going to do a third season, but at the moment it's been dropped because I think David Fincher is doing other things. And the main guy who plays, I can't think of his character name right now, but the main guy has been cast in like The Matrix 4, so he's off doing that. But I really, really hope, I hope and I pray that they bring it back for another season because it was just so gripping and I loved it so much. I'm a huge fan of Anna Torv. I think that she has such emotional depth, but has like this wall of icy coldness that is just fascinating to watch. She was great in Fringe, and you know that I love Fringe as well. So Mindhunter was amazing, and you can catch it on Netflix, I believe. So the next show I absolutely am obsessed with at the moment is Ozark. Now, no spoilers, please, because I haven't watched the latest season yet. Because of the lockdown, I haven't had a chance to watch it because I've been watching it with my mother-in-law and we just feel so terrible not watching it with her. So I haven't seen it yet, but up until the point where I have seen it, literally the first episode of Ozark hooked me just like that. It was amazing the way that the story was set up. You're kind of thrown right into it. You don't really have time to process who these characters are or what their motives are, but you're instantly captivated and you want to know more. And Ozark, it's basically, in my opinion, like a realistic Breaking Bad. So you have Marty Bird, who is this like corrupt accountant who is cleaning the cartel's money alongside his partner, and something really bad happens and Marty Bird has to go on the run with his family, his wife, his teenage daughter and his younger son. And Marty has this harebrained idea that he's going to go down to Missouri to the Ozarks and clean cartel money there by opening up like seed money investments into businesses down there, which seems like a really stupid idea, but the cartel trust Marty and they basically give him a deadline of, you've got X amount of time and I want X amount of millions of dollars. And Marty's like trying to think of ways to either kill himself so he can give the insurance money to his wife and his family, or just run away or figure out the problem. And obviously, whilst down there, he meets certain individuals, certain characters who make life so much more difficult for him. And what I love about this show is that the acting and the character interactions are so good. They are so believable. Like Marty and Wendy, the interaction as a married couple with their kids, with other people, it's so believable and it is so engaging that you honestly feel like you are there with them and you're sharing the struggles with them. Now, the show is fairly moderately paced, but in my opinion, I think it's faster paced than what a lot of people have been saying on the internet. Everything is go, 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 go. It's like one thing after another, after another, after another. And Marty is like, how he is not on the verge of a breakdown, I will never know. He's always like, well, that's great, I've got to go and do something. He's always doing something. But the last season that I watched, it was left on like a total cliffhanger. So I'm so ready to watch the latest season. I think it's like season 3. Don't quote me on that. But I've got to just be patient and wait for the lockdown to lift so my mother-in-law can come around and watch it with us. So that's Ozark. Next is a show that I have just finished watching the latest season. Again, I think it's season 3. And that is Westworld. Oh my god. I've never been so engrossed in a show before. Like, intellectually. Westworld is basically the up-to-date version of like the 1970s film called Westworld, where basically a park is created. Think of Jurassic Park, but instead of dinosaurs, it's robot cowboys. So a park is created, you go there and you can do whatever you like. No questions asked, because the hosts, the people who are walking around, are robots. So you can kill them, shoot them, do nasty things to them. Nobody will give a damn. So in season one, we kind of follow a couple of characters in this Westworld environment. The twists and the turns in season one took me by surprise. Like, I'm going to be honest, the first couple of episodes, it really took me a while to get into it and really kind of feel it and kind of give a damn about what was happening, because it didn't really captivate me. But there's a huge turning point in the middle of season one, and you just think, oh my God, everything that you have been led to believe is wrong, and everything is, the rug is pulled out from under you. Season two builds on that in a more kind of intellectual way. It's all about consciousness, AI consciousness, sentientness, like robots being more sentient, about comparisons with our world and freedom, what it means to be human, all of those things. That's like season two in a nutshell. And then season three, which I've just watched, is that just blows all of that out of the water. It's to do with like AI, how widespread AI can be, how controlling it can be if it was kind of conscious. And like, it has questions like, what is consciousness? What is freedom? It leads you questioning the kind of line between what it is to be human and what it is to be essentially like a robot. And it kind of says that there's not much differences between the two, apart from one is an organic and one is non-organic. So I was just totally blown away by season three. The production was so much more grander. The characters were amazing. Aaron Paul is in it. Jesse from Breaking Bad. He is just such a good actor. Like, the range of depth and emotion that he can portray on screen is breathtaking. And he is so different from Jesse in Breaking Bad in this. So Westworld, if you like a good intellectual challenge, then that would be the perfect show for you. If you're really into like AI, robots, like futuristic technology, then it's going to be totally down your street. So next is a show called Dark. And this is a show on Netflix. It's a German show that's been dubbed in English. And this is a show that follows the disappearance of a young boy. It's really complicated. Again, it's another really interesting intellectual TV show that twists and turns, and it's very difficult to follow. If you think Game of Thrones was hard to follow, this is just going to blow your mind. So a boy goes missing, Mikkel, and his family, like, don't know where he is. But then these strange things happen in the town. It's a really hard word, but basically time, space, family relationships all get put into a blender, mixed up, and then spat out again. So the people who you thought were your family actually are a lot more than that. People who you thought were your allies are not. Time is distorted. People travel backwards and forwards in time. There's parallel worlds. It's insane. But it's very, the structure is really well set out. It's very similar in terms of the structure of each episode. You can kind of tell like the pattern, but I think I'm glad for that, because it's really hard to figure out who is who and who is when, if you know what I mean. So it's like a time travel mind melt program, which is German but dubbed in English, which you totally get used to after a while. Some of the words actually match up with their mouths sometimes, which is very odd. Okay, so the next one is The Boys. So The Boys is an Amazon show, and it's basically following the darker side to what it means to be a superhero. So imagine a world where superheroes are every day. There's a main group of like main seven, I think, the seven, I think it's called. And they are the main hero squad. And you try your very best if you've got superpowers, if you're born with superpowers, to get into this like main group of superheroes. But they're all corrupt. They're all really horrible people who make very immoral choices. But they're obviously hailed as heroes and nobody sees what's going on behind closed doors. So our main character, Dennis Quaid's son, I can't remember his name, but our main character, a superhero, kills his girlfriend, but they say it was an accident. But he doesn't think it is, and the story unravels from there. And Carl Urban, who I can't remember what his character name is, but Carl Urban plays this really gruff, rough and ready, swearing, hilariously funny, like ex-cop who hates superheroes and wants to bring the whole system down. So he teams up with this guy and they basically try and take down superheroes as we know it. And there's some really freaking dark moments in The Boys where you think, oh, really? How do they get away with that? But I suppose it's just like basically a piss take on, you know, the Avengers and all of that sort of thing, that, you know, our superhero culture. If it was real life, how squeaky clean would it be? I mean, come on, if politicians and governments aren't squeaky clean, then superheroes are not going to be, are they? So The Boys is hilariously funny, super dark and twisted, and just a really entertaining show. So that's The Boys. Next, obviously, you all know I love Rick and Morty. There's not a lot I can say more to that. But if you don't know what Rick and Morty is, it's basically an animated TV show following Rick, who is this like drunken, like Doc character out of Back to the Future, a scientist, mad scientist, with his grandson Morty, who is this really pathetic, sniveling, moaning twerp of a boy who's just like scared of everything. But Rick kind of drags him into his like mad scientist adventures, and they have like so many shenanigans. And it's just twisted, weird, funny, crude, disgusting, and entertaining all at the same time. And there's so many little funny bits that make me laugh so much. And I actually haven't seen the newest season yet, actually, because I don't know where I can watch it. I think there's like a catch-up thing on my PlayStation. I'm not really sure. But yeah, if you like that kind of funny Family Guy vibe, then it's kind of like that. It's really random and there's not really a plot. It's just like a sequence of events that are just funny. So that's Rick and Morty. So the next show I have just finished watching, probably like a month ago, and that's Mad Men. Now, a little story about Mad Men. I actually started to watch it in my early 20s and I hated it. I thought, oh my god, this is so boring. Like, it was the most boring show I've ever watched. And I think I got to about episode 3 and I was like, I've had enough. I don't want to watch anymore. But I recently started watching it, and for some reason, you know, being a little bit more mature and having a little bit more life experience, I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. So essentially, there's not really a main plot. We just follow a character called Don Draper, who's played by the deliciously handsome John Hamm, who's just this like chiseled man. It's like man. If you were to describe what a man looks like, it's John Hamm. That's man to me. Manly man. He's so well cast. So basically, it is, I guess, the rise and fall of Don Draper, who is this really high-flying ad man in New York. So basically in Madison Avenue. Mad Men, yeah, that makes sense. So basically it just follows him, and it's set in like the 60s going into the 70s, and it's kind of like very historical. You see so many different historical events, like the assassination of John F. Kennedy. You see like the moon landings, all kind of in the background of this advertising company. So that's kind of pretty much it for that. Like, that's essentially what it's about. But there's so many characters that come and go that you learn to love or you learn to hate. You started out loving him and then you hated them, like Pete Campbell, for one of them. Actually, I hate Pete Campbell throughout all of it. But there's characters there that you root for 1 minute and then you despise and want to fail the next. But Don Draper is essentially this womanizing, booze, like drunk, who is really, really good at advertising and basically could sell sand in the Sahara. And it's just his like affairs, his struggles with reality, his struggles with his like deeds he's done in the past, his relationship with his wife and kids and, you know, new wife and all of that. And it's basically, if you like, periodical kind of, it's not really periodical, it's more like a look into the past. That's what I really liked about the show, was all the production design, it kind of felt like you were back in the 60s with these characters. It felt like you were there, because it was so natural and like realistic. But if you're looking for something a little bit more faster paced and a little bit more, I don't know, structured, then Mad Men probably isn't for you. It's a very under the microscope look of what life was like back then in this specific community of people. But I found it quite enjoyable. But you have to kind of keep with it, if you know what I mean. So that's Mad Men. So the next TV show I watched fairly recently, I watched it in about a week and a half, and that is Better Call Saul. Now, just finished watching the latest season, and oh my god, it was so good. So Better Call Saul, as its name suggests, follows Saul Goodman in the prequel to Breaking Bad. So Saul's life before Walter White ever showed up. So Saul Goodman is known as Jimmy McGill, and he is a struggling lawyer. He lives in the shadow of his older brother, Chuck, who is this really praised, well-loved attorney. And Jimmy, being Jimmy, the kind of a little bit morally corrupt, finds it difficult to live up to his brother's standards because he's a little bit dodgy, as we know. So we follow Jimmy McGill on his path to be Saul Goodman. And first couple of seasons were a little bit slow. It's completely different to Breaking Bad, in my opinion. But as we go towards the end of the seasons, it gets more and more like Breaking Bad in the tone and the kind of intention of the characters and stuff like that, which I really enjoyed. Towards the end, we see characters who we know and love from Breaking Bad. I won't ruin it for you if you haven't seen it. But it's one of those TV shows where you have to kind of stick with it. I know a lot of people get bored with it because they want it to be another Breaking Bad, but it's not that to start with anyway. I love the fact that we see Saul Goodman, how he was, and he's basically a very pathetic, puny, I don't know what I'm doing kind of guy. And from that to Saul Goodman, it's basically like the same bookends as Walter White. You know, he's this dorky twerp of a teacher to like the biggest drug lord ever known. And that's kind of what Better Call Saul is. It's the rise of Saul Goodman. And I really, really loved this show. I love the interaction between him and Kim Wexler. I don't know the actress's Rhea Seehorn. It's just popped into my mind. Rhea Seehorn, who plays Kim Wexler. And their character interaction is so good. The things that Jimmy does is just so typical of where he ends up as Saul Goodman, and where we've just left it on the last season. I can't wait for what happens after that, because in true Breaking Bad style, we have these flash forwards in time where we see Saul Goodman after what has happened to him after Breaking Bad when he goes on the run. So yeah, I really, really loved Better Call Saul, but you've just got to kind of give it time. So the next TV show I watched probably about a year ago, actually, and that was a TV show called Maniac. Now this is, I guess it's more of a mini-series because I don't think they're making any more seasons, but it stars Jonah Hill and Emma Stone, and these two characters are like totally different, like totally different people, but they end up in the same place and they make this kind of really strong connection. But this place isn't a normal place. This is a test facility where you test mind-altering drugs and you're monitored. So in this kind of futuristic world, people go to test centres to test out new pharmaceuticals for tons of money. Obviously, it's really, really dangerous, and that's why people get paid so much, and that's the drive for people to go and be guinea pigs, pretty much. So Jonah Hill and Emma Stone end up in this really strange kind of, it's like a futuristic 70s, like 60s design. The production design is really great in it. There's lots of colours and you don't really know what time you're in. And basically they take these mind-altering drugs, but within their kind of trip, they actually end up consciously combining together and sharing the same reality within their mind. So every time they pop a pill, they end up being in each other's like dream state, and they share that kind of dream. And each dream is different. So you go from like a really fantasy dream to like Jonah Hill being a gangster to like a Great Gatsby kind of a thing. And it's really interesting to see that kind of shift between like genres. It's really interesting because I wanted a lot more from it. I enjoyed every single episode, but at the end it left me wanting more, and that's why I said like I don't think there will be any more, because I haven't heard anybody kind of talking about it. I thought it was just like a small mini series and that was it, but I loved all of the show, but the end left me like questioning a lot of things, but in a good way. Like, what is consciousness? What is reality? Are they really in reality now, or is this still an experiment sort of thing? But it's really trippy. If you like that kind of trippy, serious, but undertone of sarcastic humour, then you'll like this, because it's not out-out serious. It's kind of a little bit weird. It kind of leaves you feeling a little bit kind of trippy yourself. But overall, I thought it was quite entertaining and very, very different, unique and original. So the last show that I'll be talking about is something that took me completely by surprise, and that is Dark Crystal. So Dark Crystal is a TV show based off the films. So, you know, you've got Labyrinth, Dark Crystal, and there's another one, but I can't think of it because I'm really not a fan of those films. I know people out there are going to crucify me, but it's a show built around like fantasy puppets in this fantasy world. And I really don't do very well with that sort of thing. So Dark Crystal follows. I think it's a prequel to Dark Crystal, the film, which I've watched, actually, just come to think of it. So I hadn't watched Dark Crystal before I watched Dark Crystal TV show, but the film, if I'm saying this right, basically the world is corrupt. It's run by evil beings called the Skeksis, who feed off Gelflings, which are these little, like, gnome, elf kind of creatures, using this big, huge crystal, which draws out basically their soul, and the Skeksis feed off that, and then that's their elixir to immortality. Okay, so that's the film in a nutshell. So Dark Crystal TV show is the prequel to that, where the Gelflings are all alive and well, but they worship the Skeksis. They're like the government, and the Gelflings are like the people. So in the Dark Crystal TV show, the Skeksis realise they can harness the power of the crystal, which is basically Mother Earth, the heart of this planet that they live on, because the Skeksis have come from space, I believe, and landed on the planet, said to the indigenous people, "We're your rulers, like, praise us." They were like, "Yeah, that's great." So in Dark Crystal, they find that they can harness the energy of the crystal, pull the soul out of the Gelflings, and feed off of them and live forever. So hooray, that's great. So it follows the horrific, kind of really quite scary way in which the Skeksis find this out, and the Gelflings realizing, oh crap, we need to kind of rise up against the evil overlords and kind of fight back and get them gone. And it's all done with puppets and people in suits. It's Jim Henson, I believe, which obviously at first I was a little bit put off by that. And if you're not really into puppets, then this is probably not a show for you. But at first I was like, what am I doing watching this? I really couldn't get into it, but I really, really persevered. And towards the end of it, I absolutely loved it. Now, I will say that some of the voice acting is a little bit cheesy, and I think that is done on purpose. I think they're kind of trying to emulate the old, like, back in the 70s or 80s movie, but I found it to be really irritating. Like, oh, let's, like, go really cheesy, bright, and, like, cheery, and I can't deal with that. But the Skeksis, on the other hand, they were so, so entertaining to watch. Simon Pegg, I didn't even realise, was Chamberlain, like, the main, like, antagonist. He can warp his voice, like, I can't even describe. It was just like, I can't believe that's Simon Pegg. Like, you can't recognise that it's his voice. And there's other characters in there which you'll recognise, but you just think, wow, is that really their voice? Like, it's really, really fascinating, and it almost made me want to kind of do that myself, like, twist my voice into different characters. Maybe I might try that on my channel one day, but we'll see. So anyway, I'm rambling again. So Dark Crystal was eventually very, very gripping and very entertaining. I think if you have a love for that Dark Crystal Labyrinth kind of Jim Henson stuff, then you're going to absolutely love it. But if you don't like fantasy like I do, if you don't like fantasy or kind of made up worlds and stuff for the sake of it, then you're probably not going to like it or find it tedious like I did. But I eventually found it quite entertaining in the end. So that brings us to the end of Favourite TVs Part 2. I hope that you have enjoyed me just rambling on at you. Let me know if you've seen some of these TV shows that I've mentioned. I'd love to know what you think of them, especially like Maniac and Dark Crystal, for instance, those ones. And whether or not you're excited for new seasons, other TV shows that you may have watched, or ones that I haven't mentioned, please do let me know in the comments. So, thank you so much for listening, guys, and I will see you very soon.